Blog Talk Radio.
Injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of.
Dr. King said that's got to be a radical change in our system to make a change what happened. You know, I want to say this tonight. I got my prophecy, Jerry, for 2023. So the devil going to read them for me. But before then, I want to talk a little bit about where we go from here and where we at for slavery. Well, what's going on? One of the things I want to bring out tonight that we have to have a drastic change in our political system, in our check and balance system, even in our church, our religious ceremonies we go through each and every Sunday. And, you know, right now, blacks, that's different classes. You got poor, middle class, and you got those that got a little bit more. They're into the prosperity ministry. They're in the ministry that you can get a new car, you get a new home, you all that there. But those that are just trying to get some bread or get somewhere to stay, that ministry is slowly drifting away. We don't want to do that no more. We have moved up from that. But tonight, the doctor, this is Black History Month. And talking about Black History Month, we're talking about stop the killing, save the babies. Just Sunday, a little baby got killed and three other people got killed in the car on the Dan Ryan, on the expressway. Now, somebody is irresponsible with them guns. Now, we are killing each other. Now, they noticed, you can look in the car, with no dark window. They know they were shooting kids. So, this is kind of evil that I'm talking about that's going on in Chicago, California, in Minnesota, in Detroit, in Ohio. In my prophecy, I'm talking about stop the killing, save the babies. I'm talking about some of the stuff that's happening right before our eyes. You know, one thing, the only president that I really had faith in was Jimmy Carter. They called him the peanut man. But Jimmy Carter was a white man that took care of people. You know, Jimmy Carter, he's still living. Carter was a president that didn't make no difference what color you were. He worked with you. And Washington was too corrupt for Jimmy Carter, so they got him out. But he didn't stop. He got the Nobel Peace Prize. And Jimmy Carter built houses for black, white, poor, rich. He built houses all over the country. He went to Africa and gave peel to black folks. that needed medicine. He did that. Lots of people don't know what Jimmy Carter did. And we salute Jimmy Carter on this Black History. You know, Jimmy Carter did a lot for Black folks, but he did a lot for lots of people. And Jimmy Carter is the oldest president and one of the best presidents we ever had. Don't tell me about Obama. Don't tell me about Bush. Don't tell me about none of them we got in there. Jimmy Carter was the best president for the people, with the people. Jimmy Carter. Yes, Jimmy Carter. I can tell you some of the stuff he did. He put a black man over housing. Never been did. He didn't make no sense. He, in Washington, he opened up many doors. Jimmy Carter, he didn't push. They said, we got to get him out of him. We got to get rid of him. So we're going to give him one term. Okay? And when they put Reagan and the rest of them in there, them crooks, yeah, crooks. You know, them crooks. But Jimmy Carter was the best president that we had. Jimmy Carter built houses. He went around the world. A little guy from Plain, Georgia, Jimmy Carter. And the reason I'm tooting his horn, he did a lot. And a lot of people don't know what Jimmy Carter did. I say, we're getting ready. Dr. Martin Luther King movement. Tell you all as well. And we want to tell you, I want to thank, I talked to Sister Sherry earlier. I was telling her some of the stuff that's going on, that was going on across this country and what's going on in the world. I'm going to have Sister Deborah Ann to read some of the prophecy. And I don't see what Mary Hawkins at yet. I don't guess she got on yet. Okay. Now, this is the prophecy for 2023. Okay. I'm going to have to Deborah Ann. Deborah Ann, are you on?
Yes, sir. I'm on, Bishop.
Okay. I want you to read some of the prophecy 23. Before she reads it, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's telling you what's going to be happening this year, what's going to be happening in 2024, and what's going to be happening. So you get your pencil paper and take it down, and you see it. But before she tells, before she reads that to you, I want to tell you this now. We got a difficult year going, and this black-on-black crime is happening all over America, and it got to come to a stop. When we had 96 killings, 96 shootings in colleges, high school, and even in grammar school, kids 6 years old, kids and going to school, the parents got to be responsible. Okay, Deborah, you can read those prophecies.
Okay, the prophecy for 2023, earthquake will occur in California in 2023. Earthquakes will occur in Russia and Alaska. More corporations will reduce their workforce and convert optimization. Floods will occur in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Arkansas. The Midwest, Illinois, Wisconsin, Ohio, Minnesota, and Dakota will experience blizzards type of weather. The country will experience extreme heat during April. Due to electricity, ground tampering, and terrorists, the country will experience frequent blackouts. The government will admit their role in contributing the pandemic. Because of the massive miseducation of students, the government will revamp the entire public school system. Mass shooting will continue to occur in schools, churches, colleges, and shopping malls. There will be a mass movement across the U.S. to ban the assault weapon protests will take place in Washington. Death will occur within the Republican and Democratic Party.
Thank you. Now, what she was just reading is some of the stuff that happened. She didn't read all of it. She read some of it. Thank you, Sister Deborah.
I read it out, Bishop.
Yeah, I know it, but it, I got another sheet, but I didn't let you read that, just that sheet. Now,
yes,
she read all of it, but what I want to say to you is more come. I got another sheet where I'm dealing with psycho warfare. I'm dealing with witchcraft and magic. I'm dealing with people that's on drugs, killing each other. And on the other sheet, I'm dealing with sighting of UFOs. And I let her do that tomorrow night, sighting of the UFOs and all that, that you can be able to look out early in the morning and see flying saucers. Okay? And this is some of the stuff going to be happening in 2023 and 2024. So you have to get ready for that. I just want to say that to you tonight. I wanted to share this prophecy with you. And I want to tell you about Jimmy Carter, that was one of the oldest presidents and one of the presidents that really was for the people. I don't care what they say about all the rest of them. Jimmy Carter, when he got out of office, he went to building houses. He gave Africa, he gave medicine to people in Africa. He did all that. He went all over the country building houses. Jimmy Carter did that. So I want to say that, but I had already prophesied there'd be two deaths in Washington, one on the Republican side, one on the Democrat side. And what I'm saying to you tonight, Dr. Killen says that March is the month of Archangel Michael. And March going to show us back-to-back storm, back-to-back tornadoes, back-to-back to flood. When you think it's over with, it's coming again. What they call it, repeat, we get repeat. And I want to say this, stop the killing, save the baby. And I'm praying the young people that shot them kids, little baby, in the, you know, it's sickening when you got evil. And evil, you know, evil don't come in black and white. Evil is evil. Okay? If you black, you evil. If you white, you evil. If you brown, it don't come in color. It come in the, see, Hitler killed 6 million Jews. Okay? Over 100 million blacks were killed in Africa. Okay? It wasn't no color thing. It was people that's evil. And a lot of evil gone. Tonight, I'm praying for you. I want to tell you, 2023, with all I'm prophesying, it's still going to be a blessed year for you. It's going to be a year that God going to open your eyes up and your mind. And I told her, tell Brother Tick I'm coming to get the demons off of here. That's right. And I want to tell Greg Wayne, I want him to get in order because we got some work to do. And what I'm saying, when God assigned you a job, and I want to tell you, Bright Star, when God signs you a job, you got to do it. Devil, when God signs you a job, people might not understand, but when God keep you in the land of the living, God wants you to be fruitful, and God wants you to be able to do something for somebody. So all is well. On this Monday night, it's the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Movement Night. Talk about what Dr. King saying. And what Dr. King said back then is hold true now. We got to have some jobs. The government got to give us reparation. We got to ban these assault weapons that's killing these children in school and churches. I predict over a million people are going to come to Washington, students from every college, going to tell them politicians, stop taking money from the Rifle Association, and ban these assault weapons that's killing our women, our children in school, in college. The government, the Republican, Democrat, they got to ban these assault weapons, and they won't do it because it's big money. But they're going to do it because the people going to rise up. They're going to rise up.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hope.
hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists. Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor. The promises of the Great Society have been shut down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home. The other thing I want you to understand is this.
Dr. King talked about social problems that's happening. The Vietnam War. The war that Russia is killing the people in Crimea and bringing to America is senseless war. And the war that's going on in the black community, the black-on-black crime, and the politicians, the mayors, the governors of these cities is not taking charge. And the police, they see the shooting, but they don't never catch nobody. It's got to be a stop. And you got 95% of black males and females in jail. And they in jail for meeker over crime. And it got to change. And it changed because we got to have reparations. If we had our ancestor wealth, we wouldn't have to beg for no welfare, no social, none of that. And we had the wealth that this country owed the black man, not the brown man, not the Mexican man, the black man, that he owed for the work that our ancestor did. And that's one of the things that we have to do and understand that. So that's some of the stuff that we got to deal with from a point to open up. And we got to be able to do that. So it's important for you to know what's going on. It's important for you to take time out. You know, the lady said she went down to the auto show, biggest in the world, and those cars so high, if it ain't no job, how you gonna get a car and ain't no job? How you know, it's so much a demonic spirit that's out in the streets that people don't even understand the evil that's taking place in schools, in colleges, and the demon that is among us that's killing women and children. It's no color on evil. Evil is evil. It's no color on hate. Hate is just hate. So you got to be able to say, I'm able to understand that the God in me loves the God in you, and the God in you loves God in me. So one thing we got to understand all is well, when the lady just texted me, the bishop, what scripture we need to read? I want you to read Psalms 91 and Psalms 119. We're going to go into another month. The month of March, and the month of March is the month of Saint Michael, Archangel Michael. Most of you, I text Saint Michael to you. If I didn't text Saint Michael to you, I will text it to you, Sister Betty, and I want to pray for you, Sister Rose, who asked for prayer right there in Dallas, Texas. I'm gonna pray for you. This is the Dr. King movement tonight. We talk about social issues on your job, getting your children out of jail. You know, it was a shame in Memphis where those blacks killed that black man and got the court to have the death because they wasn't guilty. You see, what I'm saying, black on black, ain't no different than white on white. You know what I'm saying? So my whole thing is that in 19, 1968, we was marching in Memphis for blacks to get jobs, for blacks to work on the garbage truck and get paid. And the mayor at that time was Mayor Lowell. And Dr. King said, Mayor Lowell needs a doctor. That was Dr. King said. But in spite of what Dr. King did, Dr. King lost his life in Memphis fighting for the garbage guys. And they had a sign saying, we are men. If you go back and Google the march in Memphis, they had a sign saying, we are men. Now you got everybody tomorrow, I'm out the closet, I'm gay. You see how things have flipped? See how blacks are killing blacks right there in Memphis, selling dope and drugs and all of the stuff that's going on? It lets you know that God is in control. And whatever happened to God or the universe going to take charge. The politics have changed. It seemed like that everybody want a dollar. So nobody want to help nobody now. And I had Mother Payton and Deacon Payton. And Deacon Payton was praying. He said, don't nobody want to serve God now. And Deacon Payton told the truth. He said, don't nobody. Everybody doing something else. And so I had Deacon Payton, he's in Dallas, Texas. And Mother Payton was in Chicago. And they moved down to Dallas. But what they're saying back then is so true. So if you got a need, you plant a seed, get ready. Because as I make my tour down to Yazoo City, Mississippi, Louisiana, down to Monroe, down to New Orleans, all the way to Texas, Houston, and back to Chicago. In that run, I want you to be supportive of that move. And I'm getting something together, Brother Jerry, I want you to be involved in that. We're going to see, can we get ready to move to stop the killing to save the babies? See, can we do something to stop the slave trade and the hate that's going on? And that's important that we're able to stop that's going on.
He's got the whole world.
That's Mahalia Jackson saying he got the whole world in his hand. She didn't lie. God have the whole world in his hand. And tonight, I'm praying for Jimmy Carter family. And he ain't crossed over to be an ancestor. But I want to tell you, this man did more than any president. He did more than Abraham Lincoln did. Jimmy Carter, before, we like to wait till people die to say what they did. Jimmy Carter was the best president in Washington. That means they got rid of him. He didn't do but one term because those that were stealing and robbing, they said, we got to get rid of this president because he ain't going to go along with it. So they got rid of him. They got rid of him. The Democrats and the Republicans got together and got rid of him. But he didn't stop there. He began to build houses. Jimmy Carter began to carry medicine over to Africa. He'd been over to pump wells for water. He didn't holler he did it. He just went and did it. So I honor Plain Georgia, Jimmy Carter. I honor him tonight on the Dr. Martin Luther King movement because he definitely was in the movement for all the people, not just some of the people, all the people. And that's important, that's for all the people. Some of you selfish, you got your selfish stuff, and you don't want to do nothing pertaining to you. He could have went and sat down and did nothing, but he kept it moving. He kept building houses. He kept motivating people. And I just want to say that he did that. But Mahalia Jackson said he got the whole world in his hand. And I want to wake you up tonight, whatever you're going through. If you got a need, you plant a seed, go to my website, bestseedabrahamyourwebsite.com. On Monday night is Dr. King Movement. on Tuesday night because of the ancestors. On Wednesday night, Bible class. And the next night, it's Divine Word. And on Friday night, it's Treaties on the Flow. And on Thursday night, it's the Divine Talk. And on Saturdays, it come on as Divine Healing. Sunday morning from 11 to 12, Deborah and I be on. And I want you to know, Janice, I be on from 11 to 12. I'm praying for you, Sister Carolyn. God bless you tonight. And I want to tell you, Sister Robert, I'm praying for you tonight. Every letter, every telephone call is a special love. If I don't do nothing this year but get you out of hell, stop saying hello and begin to say love, peace, and happiness. If I can get you out of hell this year, I'm doing a great thing. If I can get you just out of hell and get you into love, peace, happiness, and joy. The mind is important. We're going to have a lot of people commit suicide this year. We got a lot of people on drugs. They're taking powder and they're drinking. They're out of their mind. You know, that's some of the evil that's going on. And I want to tell you that as you listen tonight, God's going to pour out a blessing for you, quick, fast, and in a hurry. And I just want you to understand that God ain't stopped blessing yet. He's still blessing.
What I'm saying to you this morning, my friend, even if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, born out in sweet streets like Michelangelo painted pictures, sweet streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music, sweet streets like Shakespeare wrote portraits, sweet streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be a pine on the top of a hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub on the side of the reel. Be a bush if you can't be a tree.
You can be the best, and you can be the best. Psalm 44 tonight, Psalm 29. And I want to tell you on this Dr. King, on this Black History Month, we're just about out to Black History Month. We're doing the Mardi Gras down south. It's going on down there. I have a couple of calls now. I want you to know tonight that God has signed you a job. And the devil trying to overthrow you where you won't make that grade. He give you the alcohol, he give you drugs, and he give you a bad relationship. If it don't work, don't make it, get out of it. Because here's some of the stuff. Later on, I'm going to bring Dr. Henry Clark. And Henry Clark was talking about slavery and how the slavery started and how we still together when we have our ancestors come from Africa. And they didn't want them to be drunk. They didn't want you to read the Bible. Every book they took and burned it because they didn't want you to have the knowledge. You are a spiritual man. You are a spiritual woman. This is still happening.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America
only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counters. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages. America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will. At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. And as I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation.
Some things you got to do yourself. And that's what Dr. King was saying. You have to be able to have pride and be able to understand that. This is Dr. Henry Clark. Right here.
This is the North Star. Douglas Mumford, the first half of the 19th century in this country. The century of the dynamic black preacher in this country. The century of the great preacher like Henry Hyland Garnett, whose motto he said is resistance, resistance, resistance. I think that one of my focal points this evening is on Africa. I can have a focal point any place in the world where there were African people and show you that we were internationally revolutionary during that century. And this was our golden century. And I'm saying that our movements today are weaker because we don't seem to know about it. We are not still successfully on that 19th century all over the world.
Bluetooth connected.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
In the Caribbean islands itself, the Haitian revolt has set panic in motion in the Panama Canal. Lord General to help them. It's the African drum driving the strength of the storm leading mad. That helps them.
Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Well, yes.
The 23rd Psalm.
Amen.
I believe this passage to be one of the most well-known passages in all of the Bible.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I believe that this passage is not only possibly better known than the average passage of Scripture, mm-hmm. but that it has been whispered by more people in trouble.
Yeah, I know.
It has been quoted by more people on sick beds. It has been uttered by more dying lips.
Well,
possibly than any other passage in all of the Bible. It is said that once in London, England, there were a group of artists and entertainers in the city. And by some scheme, some enterprising person was able to get most of them together in one place.
Well,
so as to demonstrate their gifts.
Yeah.
And when all of them had gone through their routines, they came down to an orator and a minister.
Yeah. Wow.
And both of them were requested to recite the 23rd Psalm. The orator employed all of his innate gift to speak, called upon all of his skill and gift of oratory. And when he had finished his recitation of this psalm, the house went up in thunderous applause. And then the minister arose rather solemnly and proceeded to recite the same passage.
Yes.
When he had finished, It is said that nobody applauded. But there was hardly a dry eye left in the house. The MC, upon commenting on the two who had recited this passage, said the orator recited this passage like a man who knew it and was gifted to recite it. But the minister recited it like a man who knew the shepherd of which it speaks. You will notice, my brethren and my sisters, that there's something unique about this passage. It seems that the man who wrote this passage was a shepherd. It has been ascribed to the authorship of David. However, David did not write all of the Psalms. Many of them were written by some of the priests and their aides about the temple. Others were written by other patriarchs and saints. But there's something about this passage that seemed to portray that its author was a man who knew something about a shepherd and sheep. Knew something about the shepherd's attitude toward his sheep. And then something about how the sheep relied upon the shepherd. Listen, if you please. This is a gem when it comes to sacred literature. This kind of testimony doesn't just accidentally occur. You can't dream upon something like this. To give off a testimony like this, you've got to have had some experience with God. You've got to been brought to a kind of a situation where you've had to lay out upon God and fall out upon God and totally depend upon Him. Listen now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Did you hear what I said? He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Isn't it so? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A very personal thing. I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and His goodness. Some folks say, well, you know, I'm not very much of a talker. And I can't say anything in church. If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway. You ought to be able to say what God means to me. The Lord means anything, let the saints of God say so. Where it means. If David was the author of this passage, then it was born out of some of his experiences. Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne. Israel's first citizen. With a scepter of authority in his hand. The courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him. And yet he takes a retrospect back down the vista of the past. And begins to think about those things that brought him over.
Had it been his skillfulness?
Well,
had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering?
Yeah.
I shall not walk. It's about a personal thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Did you hear what I said? He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Milo.
Isn't it so? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A very personal thing. I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and his goodness. Some folks say, well, you know, I'm not very much of a talker. And I can't say anything in church. If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway. You ought to be able to say what God means to me. The Lord means anything, let the saints of God say so. Pray with me. If David was the author of this passage, then it was born out of some of his experiences. Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne. Israel's first citizen. With a scepter of authority in his hand. With courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him. And yet he takes the retrospect back down the vista of the past. And begins to think about those things that brought him over. Had it been his skillfulness? Had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering? Had it been his contacts? Had it been money? Had it been armies? No, sir. It had been the Lord. Thus he says, the Lord has been my shepherd. No wonder the man said, through many dangerous trials and snares, I have already come. It wasn't money, it wasn't military power, it wasn't chicanery, it wasn't political strings being pulled. It was grace that brought me saved thus far. And grace will lead me on. Here's a man who had been brought by God from the obscurity of the dry and barren hills of Judah. To the throne of Israel. Here's a man who come up from the unknown and have faced the fear of giant Goliath. Outside in the town of Shuka at the Valley of Elah. With the soldiers of Israel arrayed on one mountain. And the soldiers of the Philistines arrayed on the other. And this man who had been decorated for his valor and bravery was walking between the mountains, exclaiming in loud tones of profanity, or exclaiming profanity against the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. You know how he requested audience with the king, and how he started out with Saul's own helmet on his head, Saul's own sword in his hand, Saul's own shield on his arm. But having no experience and training in this kind of a thing.
Yeah.
He took them back.
Yeah.
And requested only his strength and God.
Yeah.
You know the victory that he brought to Israel.
Well.
And when he went marching back to the capital, the women along the way composed a new song.
Yeah.
And Saul has killed his thousands.
Yeah.
But David has killed his 10,000.
Yeah.
You know that the jealousy that this aroused in Saul.
Yeah.
And how Saul sought to kill him.
Yeah.
And how he had to run and hide.
Well. Yeah.
And one day when there were a company of men coming in from the south.
Yeah. Yeah.
And another company closing in from the north.
Yeah.
And another one from the east and another one from the north.
Open eyes.